The title of today's message is Holiness. Now, if you were here Sunday morning, we talked about maximizing your potential, that you need to find out what your gifts are and allow God to work through you so you can maximize your potential in the kingdom of God, so you don't just kind of float along. You actually get on a growth path. You actually get on a place in your life where you have vision, where you have direction, and you come to a sense of purpose that God has placed you in this earth for His purposes, for His design of your life. And so for some of us, honestly, that's kind of a renewal of thinking, because we kind of grow up in a world that says, well, I'm here to do what I want to do and fulfill my dreams and do my agenda and vision for life. And we're talking about the fact that when we come to Christ, we give up our agenda, we take on His agenda, which, by the way, is a much better deal. It's much better, a lot less stress when you just give up. Y'all want to give up this morning? I do. Aren't you tired of carrying that stress? Aren't you tired of trying to make life happen for you when Jesus said, I want to make life happen through you and for you? I am so eager to step into the power of God for my life and the presence of God to sustain me, to fill me, and fuel me to have purpose and to do meaningful work through my job, meaningful work through my family, meaningful work in my church and my community. That, guys, we were made to work. Work is not a curse. Work is the biggest blessing you've ever received in your life, because, men, you are designed to be productive, to accomplish something today. So when we step into agreement with the Holy Spirit, then we start doing work that really matters more than just to acquire more stuff. We actually begin to affect lives for eternity. Will you pray with me? God, we believe that this morning that You're going to speak to our hearts and You're going to mold us and shape us in a way that we could comprehend what Your will is for our life, and we could have a key understanding of walking in a holy life before You. I pray, God, that if people have any early conceptions about what holiness is, God, that they would listen to Your word and let Your word define to us today what it means to walk in a holy, set-apart life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So holiness simply means this: to be holy means to be set apart for God's purposes. If something is holy, if this water is holy to me, it's set aside for a specific purpose. That's for me to drink. Amen? I'm not going to share it with you because I don't want your germs. Amen? You are set aside by God. When you received Christ, He set you apart. The Bible says, be in the world, but not of the world. We're not trying to escape. We're in it. But we are now made new. Our hearts, our minds, our bodies belong to the kingdom of God. And the Spirit of God can transform us so that He can maximize your potential, so that you can live a fulfilling life. 1 Corinthians 1:21 says this: for since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Why am I reading that verse? I want you to understand that living a holy life is foolishness to the world. Because living a holy life says, I make choices that are not self-centered. I make choices that think about others first. I live my life in such a way as to be a blessing at all times to all those around me. And you think, oh my goodness, there's no self-fulfillment in that. I'm telling you, it's just the opposite. It is the most fulfilling life you can live. It's to lay aside your selfishness and take on God's holiness and walk it out. Now, I know what happens when you start saying holiness. People are like, I can't be holy. I'm so screwed up. I'm so messed up. No, listen to me. before the end of this message, you're going to understand there's one key for you to walking in holiness. Holiness is one of the wisdom stones that to the world looks like utter foolishness. Conventional wisdom of the day says stuff like this: sleep with as many people as possible so that you can be sure you married the right one. That's conventional wisdom. But holiness says save yourself for that one person that God called you to marry. Now, I need to define this. We're talking male and female. Not the same. In the culture we live in, you have to define that. When I wrote this message, I wasn't thinking about having to define gender. Men need to marry a woman. Women need to marry a man. Okay, just to make that clear, that's God's holy way. Conventional wisdom says hold on to your money until you have enough to give. But holiness says tithe the first 10% of your money because it's holy unto the Lord. See, holiness has a whole different outlook than the world. Hebrews 12, 14, the very end of that verse says this: without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Now stay with me. Stay with me. Holiness is the prescribed way of life for believers. It is not like one of the options. You went to Dr. Jesus and he wrote you a prescription. And he didn't give you two or three prescriptions, he gave you one. It's called holiness. It's unconventional, but when you embrace it, it's not only a way of life, it's a stone in your hand to ward off the enemies of your soul. Holy, to be set apart for God's purposes. Be in the world, but not of the world. 1 Peter 1:14 says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's works, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth. In a believer's life, there's two kinds of holiness. Now, here's where you're going to get the key to living a holy life. Number one type of holiness is positional holiness. Stay with me. There's a lot of information, but if you get it, it'll change your life. Positional holiness looks like this. Through faith in Jesus Christ, I'm totally holy and righteous by believing. It's the gift of righteousness, the gift of holiness. When you put your faith in Jesus, when you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, when you believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead, it says you were saved. And if you understand New Testament scripture, it says you were given the gift of righteousness. You were automatically put in the position of holy. That's a gift. See, because most of you hear this message and go, holiness, how can I ever attain to it? You'll never have holy behavior until you believe that you have a holy position with God. It's a gift. You cannot earn it. You confess Jesus. He's the perfect one. We're the imperfect ones. We receive what the perfect one did, and then we can live in his perfection. I'm not saying you'll make every choice right. You'll never be Jesus. Give up on that goal, but be a follower of Jesus. He's the perfect one. You're the imperfect one. But I'm telling you, when you believe that he positioned you, as Ephesians says, at the right hand of God Almighty, in a position of power, far above all rule and authority and every name that's ever been named, you're seated high above in a holy position. When you believe that you're really there, then it begins to change your mind you come to peace, you accept the gift that's been given, and then you come to the second type of holiness called behavioral holiness. It's when my actions, my life accurately reveals the character and nature of God. Behavioral holiness are my choices. Positional holiness is a gift. It's given to me. Nobody can take it away. Without positional holiness, you couldn't even talk to God. You couldn't even worship God. You'd be smoked because sin was coming before the presence of God. But with positional holiness, you're right with God forever through Jesus Christ, and you're in a holy position. And if you can accept that gift today, then you have the potential to live holy choices. But if you don't believe that you're okay with God, you will never make great choices. Because you'll spend all your time trying to prove that you're right with God by working really hard to do right. And when you work really hard to do right, you get tired and do wrong. It's called legalism. It's called performance-based righteousness. It's called wearing yourself out trying to be a good boy. I've tried that. You know what? It is no better to be trying to perform to please God. It's no better to do that than it is to be out being worldly and crazy. They're both sin. Because they're sin because without faith, it's impossible to please God. You have to have faith to believe that your rotten sin was taken away, that you don't have to perform for God, that you're okay. So two types of holiness. Positional is a gift. Behavioral is a choice. John Bevere, famous Christian writer, wrote this in a book called Good or God. He's talking about him and his wife. He said, "Once Lisa became my wife, her conduct reflected her loyalty to me. She no longer flirted or sought relationships with other men. Her actions corresponded to her unwavering relationship as my wife. And of course, as her husband, I had the same behavior." So the behavior had to change as a result of the position of the relationship. Once she became wife, she quit flirting with other men. Now, we are called the bride of Christ. I know you don't like that because it's feminine. It's positional, okay? It's not womanly. It's positional. But Jesus is the head, and we are submitted to him. And so in Scripture, we're the bride of Christ. So our behavior must change as a result of our position that we hold in a relationship with him. You want to be frustrated? Get saved and live like hell. That's a frustrating position. Get saved and stay in your addictions. Get saved and keep partying. Get saved and don't be faithful to your wife. You want to talk about making your conscience miserable, having sleepless nights. Is that good news? That's good news. But here's the truth. When you get saved, then now you have the power to stop living like the world. It's a challenge to be holy. To be quite honest, nobody hardly talks about holiness in the church anymore. If you go Google and listen to all these famous preachers, who's talking about living a holy life? Who's talking about sacrificing yourself so you can really follow Jesus? Very few voices are really speaking the truth out there. You need to make sure you're listening to the truth. Make sure you're focusing on God's word. The Bible hasn't changed in all these thousands of years. It's amazing. People take it, twist it, turn it, try to make it fit them. We're supposed to fit the word, not make the word fit us. This is the only thing that keeps my mind sane, is because I know that my choices need to agree with the truth and the principles in the Bible. And the Holy Spirit makes that possible for me. I can learn something in the Bible and want to be the way the Bible says, but until I surrender to my position of holiness and receive it and allow the Holy Spirit to empower me, I can think I want to do good all day. But until I let the Lord empower me, see, here's what I'm getting at. A holy life is a surrendered life. If there's any bit of you still wanting to be in the driver's seat of your life, you can't be holy. Let me say it again. If there's any bit of you that still wants to be in control, still wants to take the wheel, still wants to determine your future, does not understand that your life does not belong to you anymore, you are in a pickle, people. Because Jesus purchased you, and he's jealous for you. And as long as you want to do your own thing, you're going to be frustrated, miserable, upset, angry, put out, hard to be around. So why don't we just give up today? Let's just give up. Let's quit trying to be holy and let's receive our holy position. And then ask the Holy Spirit to empower, Holy Spirit, empower us to make better choices. When you give up, you actually gain power in the kingdom of God. Holy, to be set apart for God's purpose. We knew a guy who was a missionary to India. And they didn't have the best water supply in the place where he lived. And he tells this story of wanting, of a day of he had a moment and he needed to change the oil in his car. And so he was doing the work of, you know, changing the filter, one about ready to drain the oil. And he can't find a tub for it to go in. So he's frustrated. He's in a hurry. He's trying to get on to the next thing. He goes into the house and he sees this bucket sitting on top of the refrigerator. And this was the bucket that was used to go and get clean water, bring it to the house. And in his flurry of frustration of wanting to get the job done, he grabs that bucket and his wife says, "No, sir, that's a holy bucket. It is set apart for clean water. You're not going to contaminate this holy vessel because you need to drain the oil in the car." Do you understand? Holy means to be set apart. It's not something spooky. It's not something fancy. It's very practical. You're a water bucket, man. You need to be carrying clean water. Not bitter water, not contaminated water, not lustful water, not selfish water. You need to be carrying clean water to the world around you. Ephesians 1:4, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him in love. Listen, church. This was God's plan before the world was even created. It says he chose you. If you believe the word, and you're a Christian today, this word says he chose you before he even created the cosmos. Before the foundation of the world, he chose us in Christ that we would be holy and blameless. You go, "I can't be blameless." Yeah, but Jesus is. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And the word of God says, "I'm hidden in Christ." That's why I don't receive judgment in the presence of God. My sins are taken as far as the east is from the west. I'm blameless before God. How many of us really believe this truth? You are holy. You are blameless. Because if you can believe it, then you can start living it. Heaven is willful. Heaven is powerful. Heaven is on full alert and ready to help you. Heaven is bent towards helping you get your heart separated from the world, the flesh, and to be reestablished in the innocence of holiness. Heaven is waiting for you to say yes. The kingdom power is about to flood into your life when you accept these truths. Now, there's the concept. The one thing you need to understand if you're going to walk in holiness is your positional holiness is a gift. Now, maybe if we could surrender, we could step into some behavioral holiness. Anybody got any behavior that needs to change? I do. Here's the key. Believe it's possible because Jesus made you holy. He set you apart. Now, I'm going to try to make this a little more practical. That's a little bit theoretical. Let's make it a little bit practical. Three things that can help you start on this path. Three truths to help you walk this out, walk in holiness. Number one, simple, seek first the kingdom. Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Holiness is a state of being that leads to a state of doing. Positional holiness needs to behavioral holiness. In the kingdom, there's a king. His name is Jesus. He's the Lord and Savior. We put the Lord first. Submission to the king leads to holy choices. So what's the key, number one, to walking it out? Seek first the kingdom. How do you seek first the kingdom? By seeking first the king. Amen. Jesus, you're my king. Jesus, I bow down before you this morning. Use my life for your purpose. That's not hard. 5-year-old can do that. I give up. I surrender to Jesus. I seek you first. But how many men today say, I just don't have time to pray in the morning? Well, that's a little hard to seek him first when you don't have time to at least say a prayer of surrender. And maybe you don't have time to pray in the morning because you think prayer is supposed to be complicated. I pray every morning. It's simple. Words out of my mouth to the heart of my Father and Lord Jesus Christ. I surrender. This is your day, not mine. That's seeking first the kingdom of God. That's not hard. That's the key. Number one, seeking first. Number two, what do I believe? It's a key. I seek him first, but what do I believe? I got to think about my belief systems. What I believe makes all the difference. In 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And it is so important that I first understand that when I was born again, I was actually born holy. Born righteous. I've already talked about this, but now we're talking about working this down into a pattern that might help you get somewhere. Number one, seek him first, surrender. Number two, begin to believe what the word says. You need to ask yourself this question, what do I believe? Most of you could tell me what Pastor Brad believes because I say it to you every Sunday. I tell you what I believe. I preach what I believe. But can you tell me what you believe? That's a little challenging, isn't it? Well, it's not complicated. It's not a trick question. Do you believe that your sins are really gone? You know I believe it, but it don't matter if I believe it. Do you believe it? When I carry in me the belief, born righteous and holy, therein lies the power to live righteous and holy. Beliefs are powerful, guys. Think about something that drives you. Be honest with yourself. What's a motivating force in your life? There's simple ones, right? Like money, power, sex. Wanting to be accepted, wanting to be liked. Whatever motivates you and drives you, if you can be honest and find out, that's what your belief is centered around. I don't have time to tell stories, okay? I got some stories on that. Holiness is a state of being that leads to a state of doing. Acts 17, verse 28 says, in him we live and move and have our very being. How many men of God in the room today forgot that? Because if we're honest, most of us think, I can do this without God. I've done most of my life without him. I've been pretty successful. There's a lot of people in the church who think that. I kind of do a little God stuff, but I got this. I really needed him for that salvation thing so I wouldn't go to hell. But I got it now. What? I'm not mad at anybody for saying that, but that's stupid. If you don't understand the Bible, if you got his salvation, you got the whole thing. There's nothing you can do. If any of it's based on you, we're in trouble. But we really believe. We really believe that we could do something today that would impress God. God's unimpressed by your best actions. The Bible says your righteousness that's on your own is like filthy rags. Stinky, nasty, ain't worth nothing. But somehow we think we might could do something to please God. No, the only thing that pleases God is Jesus. And the only way we get pleasing to God is to believe in Jesus. Christianity's simple. But human beings like to complicate it because we want to be smart and powerful. I want to make a confession to you today. I'm not smart and I'm not powerful, but I am redeemed. And I have been bought with a price. And I have been made holy. And now I can actually do something that matters because he can do it through me. And every one of us can get in that boat if it's what you believe. I will live out what I truly believe about myself. When I believe I'm holy, it's truly a foundation stone, and I'll start living differently. Number three, if you know me well, you probably don't, not surprised that this is one of my three keys to walking in holiness. You need some Holy Ghost power. The only way to be holy is for the Holy Spirit to work through you. Brad is not holy. Jesus is holy. And I'm hidden with Christ in God. I'm holy because the Holy Spirit can work through me. Now, in Malachi 3, 1 through 3, it talks about the refiner's fire and the fuller's soap. And I don't have time to, it's a purifier of silver, a purifier of gold. And I don't have time to read that passage. Go read that for yourself. But that's what Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to do, to refine you, to purify you. Matthew 3, 11 speaks back to this reality. John the Baptist, who came before Jesus, said this: "As for me, John the Baptist, I baptize in water for repentance. But he who's coming after me is mightier than I, and I'm not fit to remove his sandals. But he," speaking of Jesus, "will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire." You need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit today. What does that mean? Fully immersed and covered in? That's all it means. It needs to be in you, running out your ears, coming out your follicles in your head. It needs to be running out the toes of your feet. You need to be so full and overflowing. As those famous charismatics would say, from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Anointed. I need it, man. I need it. And it's not charismatic, it's not Pentecostal, it's walking in Christ. It's just called holy living, and it ain't possible without the Holy Spirit fire. Be set apart for God's purpose. How do I do this every day? Holiness is a state of being that leads to a state of doing. Positional holiness leads to behavioral holiness. Let's let what's on the inside come out. Here's the good news. If you really put your faith in Jesus, you're already holy. Nothing to attain to. It's in you. Let it out. You go, "No, Pastor Brad, you don't understand what's in me." Anger, wrath, dissension, malice, lust. No, that's the flesh. Kill it. you want to be violent, kill your flesh. That's a spiritual battle, not a natural battle. If you'll submit to the Holy Spirit, then what he's got on the inside will come out, and you'll have some fun killing all that flesh. Holiness is caught, not taught. You can't learn enough to be a better person. But you can catch on fire. You can catch what the Holy Spirit's already put into you. You think, and we are Westerners, we're intellectuals. Even the ones in this room who don't think you are, you're an intellectual to the world. And we think if we just learn a little bit more, we'll be a little bit better. No. Most people who are just focused on learning more end up falling away from their faith because you can't just learn it, you've got to live it. You can't just learn it, you've got to allow the Holy Spirit to take control. And that's why most people don't live an effective Christian life, because they have like a mental assent agreement about faith, and then the rest of their life is doing whatever they knew to do before they got saved. You got to give this up, man. You got to start over. I don't care if you were saved yesterday or 50 years ago. If you don't understand that holiness is in you and it's wanting to get out and you got to surrender to it, you need to press pause and restart. I'm not saying you weren't saved 50 years ago. I'm saying if you don't understand how this works, you got a lot of wrong beliefs. Have you ever been in an incredible time of worship and you felt the presence of God? And suddenly you realized that something holy was working in you, and you realized in that moment, this is other than me. But I get to be a part of it. Amen. Wow. Have you ever been hanging around certain people and you realize that your desires start to turn toward better choices? That's because holiness is working in the community, the body of Christ. When the Holy of God touches the ordinary of humanity, it makes me free from the pull of the world and the cravings of the flesh and the seduction of the enemy. I need to just jump in to some Holy Ghost power today. I need to surrender my will and my mind today. I just need to say, God, here I am. Let me catch on fire. Isn't that fun? It's only fun if you like losing control. And a lot of you hate losing control. Listen, the fruit of the Spirit is self-control, but that's different than you being in control of the Spirit. That's the Spirit being in control of you. Here, we'll end right here. John 14, Jesus makes an incredibly powerful statement. You have to go read it. I can't flesh it out, but you'll know it if you know it. The ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. That's when Satan was coming to do what his assignment was, to take Jesus, kill him on a cross. And Jesus said, that dude's after me, but he ain't got nothing in me. There was no way for Satan to grab a hold of Jesus. There was no button to push in him because Jesus was walking in holiness. You say, well, that's Jesus. Well, who's in you? Christ in me, the hope of glory. Holy Spirit, fill me, empower me. I can do exactly what Jesus did. The enemy can come to you and you can say, he ain't got nothing in me because I'm fully surrendered to Jesus. Will you pray with me? Lord, I believe that we have to understand this if we're going to accomplish your purposes in this world. It's not scary. It's not spooky. Could you please come, Holy Spirit, right now and teach us your word? Imprint it in ways that make a difference in how we live and how we believe. Lord, help us learn to seek you first, to change our beliefs. Help us be okay with inviting the activity of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Lord, bless these men. I feel so privileged to get to be a part of this group. And I ask, God, that you would anoint each one of us so that we could do what matters to you today. In Jesus' name, amen. I got three simple questions. How about you? Are you walking in holiness? Do you need some prayer? Probably so. See you next week.